Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Brad.
Hey, it's James. We decided to start a podcast about subjects that spark conversations between us.
We're not professionals and we don't claim to be, but we will look to get some guests on each week who can shed some light on these areas.
Ultimately, we wanted to have an open conversation and hear the thoughts of everyone else about these subjects.
And hopefully you guys can learn as we do.
This is How Little We Know.
Episode 7. You're waiting for it, aren't you guys? What's that? Is that the whistle on the wind?
On the horizon. He's back. I'm back.
Can you hear me?
Pardon?
Can be Ant and Deck in the making, yeah. Thank you, Brad, for coming back. It's great that you're healthy and you can hear. Because I have to be honest, last time I was really nervous.
You smashed it. It was very good. Cheers, I enjoyed it a lot.
You're all good, though.
All good now, yes. Ear up, sorted, back to this. It's a very exciting episode today as well, isn't it?
It is indeed. Now, before we get into the episode, all of the links that are going to be mentioned in this episode will be on the Entel website. Also, we'll tweet a couple from our Twitter at How Little We Know. Let's get to it.
So, today we'd like to welcome Alex Holmes, head of the anti-bullying campaign at the Diana Award. Anti-Bullying Pro is a charity that's set up in memory of Princess Diana. Alex has been awarded the Queen's Young Leader title, and he is the only young person in England to receive this prestigious award, so it's a pleasure to have you with us.
What a title. Hey. We had Ben Fogel last time, but this time we have Alex, and what a title. That is awesome. Thank you for coming on, Alex, and you have brought James along with you, haven't you? So, James, do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners at home?
So, my name's James, and I'm an anti-bullying ambassador for the Diana Award and the National Youth Board, and my role is to go around schools helping people who have been bullied or go through similar experiences that I've been through, and to spread the positive message and to try and stop bullying online and offline and shape attitudes and behaviours.
Amazing. That's amazing. It's very good thing. Thank
you. I know that when on our Twitter thing at How Little We Know, we always ask kind of our listeners what they want to talk about and what they want to hear and whatever. And one of the biggest ones was bullying. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I feel that everyone knows about in some form. We've all been at school and we've all been around people or have been bullied ourselves. So I guess it's kind of overlooked sometimes that it still happens and it's still like such a massive thing. So I guess maybe the best place to start is, Alex, if we ask you, obviously we've heard bullying and the term bullying before, but what does it actually mean?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good question. And we like to say that bullying is any sort of persistent, repetitive behaviour that makes you feel upset, unsafe or uncomfortable, because really we all have the right to feel safe and to feel happy. So if someone is making you feel slightly uncomfortable and on a continual basis, then that's bullying.
So what was it that made you get into the anti-bullying campaigns and become so heavily involved with it and wanted to spread a positive message?
When I was at school, I was affected by bullying. It was largely racism. My dad's family's from Jamaica and my mum's side from Spain. And a couple of kids in my class would say some quite nasty things that would leave me going home in tears quite often as like a 9-10-year-old. And I think it was that feeling of being isolated, and when you go to school and you spend so much of your life at school, you want to feel like you belong, and if someone is making you feel you don't belong, it really affects your self-esteem, your confidence. And I think it, as a 9-10-year-old, it actually made me feel quite depressed, and I didn't know how to handle it. So it came from that pain, which I suppose resulted in like the passion and a purpose for me to want to try and make sure that no one else goes through that experience.
What sort of things do people say to you kind of at school? You know, you said it was like racism mainly, but what sort of things would they say?
Yeah, it was quite nasty stuff actually. Mm-hmm. Like it, you know, about saying that my dad, because of his skin colour, he washes his face with, you know, you can probably imagine the rest. But it was aggressive and it was persistent, and you know, I think that at that age it really really got to me, because my school wasn't that diverse. It therefore wasn't very accepting. Like it didn't feel like it was okay to be different, and that really really got to me and affected my school life and my home life.
And James, have you we've just heard Alex's kind of experience with bullying. Like, do you have a similar story to Alex with that respect? Were you bullied at school?
Yeah, a little bit. So I'm still at school now. So I started making music and posting it on YouTube when I was in year 7/8, so when I was like 12, 13. And I got a lot of backlash from that. So because I wasn't like the average boy who play football every lunchtime, and I'd rather make music and act and stuff like that, I got bullied a lot. So they'd like go in the comments, and like in school, they do it in groups. So like break time, there'd be a group of them commenting like mean stuff about me just because it was me, just because they didn't like me.
Yeah.
And then I'd go home and I'd see all of that stuff, and I'd feel like absolutely gobsmacked, because there's so much of these mean things. And at first I didn't know who it was, so that made it feel really bad. But then I went to school, I spoke to them, and then I found out that it was students in the school, and these were the people that I saw every single day, and I didn't even know it was them, and I still talked to them about it. And then to my face they'd be like, "Oh, your music's good." And like, fair enough, I know not everyone's gonna like my music, but then there's certain things that you do rather than tormenting the person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So they did that stuff, and I reported it to school, found it was them, and I feel like because I knew it was them and I knew it was people in school, that's what made it feel better.
That's quite similar. Sorry, I said I'm taking over the conversation here, but that's very similar to what I experienced. So when I was a little bit older than year 7, so I must have been year 9 or 10, this is when, like, just before I met Brad, really, I was doing songs, and it's exactly the same as what you said. It was the people at, it wasn't actually at my school, it was at another school, which kind of made it harder for me because I didn't know them at all. I only kind of had mutual friends, and they would send me messages on MySpace, which is old school.
Oh,
I
don't know I'm a dinosaur. That's crazy.
And it would be stuff like, it was kind of like people would say that I was like gay, for example, and like obviously nothing wrong with that, but like would just constantly pick on me, and like basically I think they didn't understand kind of that side. They didn't understand a guy of our sort of age being like openly emotional about their feelings. I think that's kind of the thing, isn't it? You put so much into songwriting, and there's that vulnerability that you kind of like send off into the world, and like that was what the other guys didn't understand.
Yeah.
And is that kind of similar to you? Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but then at the same time, like when I first made music, I kind of put up a wall when I was writing my lyrics and everything like that, especially when I was rapping. Because I wasn't ready to express those emotions. But then later on, like last year, I released a song where I was talking about all of my experiences and my emotions and how I felt. And that's what felt so rewarding for me, because I had loads of people messaging me saying that I can relate to this, that you've helped me and everything. And it really gave me a purpose with my music a lot more because I did that. And it really like occupied my thinking and everything like that, because now I can do better stuff with my music rather than have no message, which I think is inspiring to me.
Yeah, it's great. If this episode is something that you can relate to, then please make sure that you go to antibullyingpro.com, because that website is really, really handy for those who are being bullied. Check it out.
So you say it kind of feels like you both at certain points felt quite isolated by the bullying. Did it take having a conversation with a certain person or someone else who's been through a similar experience to kind of realise that you wanted to combat it rather than just shy away from it, that you wanted to take action rather than just kind of step back from it?
Yeah, I think it's, when you're going through something like bullying, it's tough because you worry about speaking out and it getting 10 times worse, and you kind of just survive, I suppose. But it got to a point where I thought, well, I wanted to break out the way I was feeling. It's having an impact on my not only my schoolwork but my home life home life and my relationship with my mum and dad and my friends. So I really spent some time looking at who do I trust, who do I have a good relationship with, and who can I speak to. And in the end, I found that person. And I was still worried about, like, there's that thing when you sell someone, you don't want them to take over your problem, because you worry about what they're going to do with that information. So I actually said, look, this is what's going on, but I don't want you to take over it. I want to talk to you about some ideas and some solutions. And for me, that being brave and speaking out, that was the start of the change, really. And it gave me that renewed confidence, because I felt like I had some of that power back. I was more in control, whereas everything was happening to me. Mm-hmm. I was able to be part of the solution, and that really opened up my possibilities in terms of increasing my self-esteem, my confidence, and feeling like I could actually tackle it and for myself, but also help others.
I think what's really strange about bullying is when you're being bullied, when you're the victim, you feel like you're the only person in the world that is experiencing it. And what's absolutely crazy is just how many people are bullied. And it's like, if you've not been bullied, you definitely know someone that has, or, you know, like your friends are like, Alex, do you have any statistics, like how many people experience bullying throughout their life?
So our own research, particularly in school, reveals that over half of all young people, and there's something like 13 million children that we send to school every single day, and over half of those young people experience some type of bullying. Mm-hmm. The stats tend to show that a lot of it is still face-to-face for children and young people. We talk a lot about cyberbullying and online, and I think that is something that, you know, is an important aspect, but young people tend to tell us that a lot of it starts offline in the real world. So it might be drama in the playground, or, you know, in the classroom, and then it turns into digital drama online. But it is a massive issue, and it is something that affects a lot of young people, and studies tell us that those young people that are exposed to bullying at a young age are far more likely, as they become adults, to have poorer mental health, poor job prospects, have issues with trusting people and forming relationships. So it's a massive issue. And of course, if you don't get it right in school, where you spend 11,000 hours of your life in full-time education, then those young people that perhaps are bullies or perpetrators go on to treat people badly online, in the workplace. So it's really important that we get it right at a young age and try and change some of those attitudes and behaviours.
Do you think, from like the perspective of the people who are bullying others, and you say that if they're not kind of pulled up on it, it'll just kind of perpetuate and it'll continue throughout their life, and then do you think that's what then influences, say, for example, another generation of people who are kind of void of empathy for those other people, then they're almost creating another generation of bullies? Because I wonder, you say you were bullied at, say, 9 or 10. It's a very young age, and for a kid to be inflicting, like, negativity on someone else, like, it can't really come from anywhere that's had that much thought. Do you know what I mean? Like, a kid at 8 or 9, you wonder how much actual negativity they want to inflict. So I wonder where it comes from. What, in your experience, where has the bullying stemmed from?
Yeah,
for people who want to inflict it on others?
I think a lot of the time it comes from lack of, or maybe fear of difference, and, you know, that idea of being seen to be different, or having different ideas, or coming from a different place. As humans, I think we tend to get a little bit scared of that, and our reaction is to try and defend ourselves by lashing out, you know, or trying to put the attention on someone else. So I think a lot of it comes from that lack of understanding difference, the lack of celebrating difference, because it's always easier to just blend into the crowd and follow certain behaviours. But I think, and you mentioning empathy as well, actually, James, that's something that you're always talking about, empathy and how important it is and how it helps solve bullying situations.
But then also, regarding Alex's point, I do feel like it has a lot to do with peer pressure as well. Because, like, if someone's going to keep going at you, telling you to do something, then that's going to really influence your decision. Like Snapchat, for example, the new update, like, even though we all hate it, we can't do anything about it because we all still want to use Snapchat.
Yeah.
But Snapchat know that. They know everybody hates it, but we haven't got a choice because we have to fit in with everybody else using Snapchat. Because if we don't use it, then we're going to be left out of the messages, the group chats and everything like that. So it's pretty much, so it pretty much relates to everything that happens in school. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone's bullying someone, it takes a lot for a human being to step out of that situation and be left out and just see it happening. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot, I think.
Do you ever find, because I feel like, as you're saying, it's almost like a mob mentality with, like, bullying sometimes. Is it always that case where there's multiple people bullying one person, or is it ever literally just one-on-one? Like, does that happen as well?
Yeah, I think totally it can be one-on-one. It's bullying is always about an imbalance of power, and that could be, like, a group having that power over you, but it could be an individual, and particularly that kind of indirect, manipulating, psychological bullying, that, you know, that is absolutely possible for one person to do it quite slyly and secretly. So, yeah, it doesn't just have to be about a group thing. It can absolutely be about an individual abusing their power over you and treating you in a really bad way.
You spoke briefly about, like, the impact that bullying has on people's mental health as they grow up through their lives, and people who've been bullied and maybe not had the right outlets or people to speak about. What have you had people come to you later in their life who've been bullied and passed that phase, but it's still stuck with them and have had to maybe approach you later in their life to deal with those problems?
Absolutely. And we did a big research poll where we were asking adults about the experience of bullying and how it affected their life, and so many adults would say that as a result of that experience of bullying, they're now not able to trust people, they have a problem forming relationships, making friends. So it can have a big impact, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I suppose the message is always about speaking out, because it's never too late to get some help about the way that you were treated, the way that you're feeling. And the idea is, you know, all of us obviously never forget the way that we were made to feel, you know, because that's a really, really powerful thing. But there is a lot of support out there and help in terms of you helping you get past some of those experiences that could be now a bit of a barrier. But it is possible to break down those barriers.
Well, I was going to ask James, like, how old are you, James?
I'm 15.
You're 15. Have you found in school that you've had, like, younger kids coming up to you since you've been more open about it?
And yeah. Like, because, like, I know a lot of year sevens, and now I'm recruiting new anti-bullying ambassadors in school. And a lot of them, it's so surprising how old they are. They're like 12. And the stuff that they've been through regarding bullying is so crazy. Mm. And then something that pops up a lot is people who have disabilities, and they get bullied a lot. Yeah. And I went to the police station the other week, and they showed me statistics saying that it is a lot of that one of the main things that happens is people that bully people because they have a disability.
Yeah.
And I was shocked because online you see all these memes and everything, and, like, if someone was racist online, it'd be the end of the world.
Yeah, of course.
Nowadays. But then if someone was bullying someone because of their disability, I don't think it'd be talked about as much, because, like, a lot of people my age, they bully people because of their disabilities and they take the mick out of them, be horrible to them, but no one really says anything about it. Then if someone's racist, the whole world shuts down.
Yeah.
So it's like, why is no one talking about that if someone has a disability? And why do people feel like it's all right to do that?
I did a bit of research on it. And it said that 7-year-olds with special needs are twice as likely as other children their age to be bullied. Do you think that that's a result of lack of, not education as in, like, school education, but do you reckon, as you said, you know, racism definitely at the moment is something that we talk about. It's in the media.
Yeah.
Celebrities come out about that. Do you reckon that it's literally just the younger generations aren't being educated enough on disability? Do you reckon that's why people with disabilities are kind of, you know, getting bullied at twice the rate as other people?
Yeah, and, like, even I'm 15 and I'm in year 10 and I haven't really been educated that much on disabilities at the moment. Like, you have to educate yourself, and that's what a lot of our young people aren't doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of young people are running into these problems on social media because they're not diving into the safety policies and finding out. Like, Facebook have amazing policies and how to stay safe online, but we're not going into those social media platforms and finding out how to, because we're being lazy and educating ourselves. And a lot of young people aren't doing that. Like, we're not really finding out what this disability means, what this disability means. So we don't know something, so immediately they're just gonna be horrible to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. But I think I completely agree people should be going out and educating themselves, yeah. But I think organisations like yourself are so important as well, because the reality is you need to educate people to get into that pattern of behaviour, to actually want to go out and educate themselves, yeah. And want to be made aware of people that are different to themselves, sort of thing. So I think it takes a kind of notion of people to be teaching generations, so it's instilled in them and it becomes a pattern of behaviour. Yeah.
I think that's a key point, actually. Like, changing behaviour doesn't happen overnight.
No.
It takes months and sometimes years. And the schools that we work in, where we introduce a team of anti-bullying ambassadors, young people whose job it is to stand up for themselves and for others, it takes quite a bit of time, actually, to change attitudes and to really educate people, where you have to bring a lot of people with you. And it's not only just young people, but it's also adults who... a lot of things have changed for them in terms of those attitudes, as well as parents who, fortunately are always, particularly with technology, playing catch up and trying to understand where things are when it comes to technology and online abuse.
If you are enjoying this podcast so far, make sure you go and rate, comment and subscribe in iTunes.
So, obviously, James, it's weird for us to say, but you're, like, definitely... the younger generation for us with regards to technology. So like when we were growing up, as I said before, we had like MySpace. Yeah. I didn't have a phone till I was about your age. Mm-hmm. But now, like, I mean, my sister's a couple years older than you, but even her, like, she seems to know a lot more about the internet than we do. So we feel very old sometimes. But I guess, Alex, have you noticed kind of now technology is everywhere? You're like, everyone has a phone now. Everyone has social media at the end of their fingertips. They use kind of Twitter for their news now instead of TV. Have you kind of seen an increase in this cyberbullying since you started working for the Diana Award charity?
Mm. Yeah, I think absolutely. As new platforms and technology becomes a lot more popular, then you see an increase. And it's been, as you say, a really interesting journey. We talk about MySpace, and it always reminds me, my mum gets confused and calls Facebook MyFace because of MySpace. But I don't think it's necessarily becoming a bigger problem. It's always there, online abuse. And one of the difficulties is that it's a lot more public. There's often a bigger audience, and it's instant. And I think there's that thing about offline in the real world. We're still, as humans, we don't know quite how to treat each other, and it's the same online. So we're still learning what etiquette looks like and how we're meant to behave. So I think it's that problem that is there. And it will always be there, but whether it's getting worse, I'm not so sure. But that's probably because of we're still hearing from a lot of young people that school is a really unsafe place, and there's some horrible experiences going on inside the walls of a school, and that's likely gonna spiral out onto the online world as well.
We've done a lot of interviews with people who have been like social influencers or been very heavily involved with like the YouTube community or whatever, and we found that I think there is this obviously underlying cyberbullying that's going on, but like you were saying earlier, James, it really feels like this kind of, it's a very diverse community online, and I feel like it's at the moment there's a push for people being a lot more accepting, because it's almost like the biggest, most diverse school in the world is Twitter, Facebook, because you're open to these people that you wouldn't be exposed to in school. So maybe school, the root of bullying in school is because of the lack of diversity in certain parts. So anyone who's different sticks out like a sore thumb in a school of 30 classes, but on Twitter, you've got this massive open community.
Mm, because it's what people aren't used to seeing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thing about the conversation of bullying, like, I think there's that disassociation between the bullies and the victims. Like, a lot of people don't know what they do. Mm. You know, like, speaking about mental health before, and, like, now, I can't remember where the statistic is, it's like 1 in 5 young adults have a diagnosed mental health disorder. And obviously not all of them come from bullying, but there's a real, like, correlation between, bullying and having mental health issues, and I think that.
So for the young people who are scared to speak to someone, what would you say to them? What would the message you give?
I would say, hopefully, this is what we're trying to achieve with the podcast is opening the door for our fan base, who I think, because James was saying earlier, it's a topic that has been heavily requested by our fan base, and hopefully, through this podcast, we can introduce them to people like yourselves, and also introduce them to the notion of speaking about it. And even if maybe you don't have a supportive family or you don't have a close group of friends, there is always people like yourself. There was people in my school who, like counsellors within the school, who you could go and speak to. And I'd like to think at most schools nowadays there's either a teacher or a point of contact that someone could go and speak to who feels safe with them. So I think that's the best thing, like you said earlier, Alex, getting it off your chest and having someone to reassure you that you're okay, sort of thing.
And if you went to school like now, I feel like you guys would be really proud, because 99% of schools, I feel, they have such a stronger foundation than they did before. Like if I was to speak to Alex, someone who's very, very old. I'm joking. Or someone like my mum. They'd say they had something completely different to what we have now. Like Alex normally says that when he left the school gates, it's pretty much over. But now you have social media. It follows you everywhere.
24/7.
Exactly. And then, like, most schools now, you have someone you can talk to. And I don't think you guys really had that when you were younger in schools as much.
Yeah. Not so much. I don't think it was as widely encouraged much. Like, I think Twitter's definitely encouraged people to converse and be open. And I think that's great. It's amazing. Like, it's nice to hear it from someone who's in that generation that people are being active and want to help other people. That's great.
I think there used to be this thing that bullying was a normal part of growing up
it
or childhood,
like,
I think we've seen a lot of changes in terms of the way bullying and mental health are looked at, and actually it's not something that you should just not talk about or put up with. It's something that you need to speak out and you need to address.
If there's any subjects you'd like us to speak about or any comments you have regarding this podcast, make sure you send us in a tweet at How Little We Know.
So if some of our listeners here are experiencing bullying, like from your guys' perspective, how's best to kind of tackle it and combat the bullying that's happened? What would you say, Alex, firstly, for, you know, as someone that works for the Anti-Bullying Pro charity, how's the best way to get out of that situation?
Yeah, I think if you're worried about speaking out, think about different ways you can do it. So if it's happening to you, you might be feeling embarrassed, you might be feeling upset, angry about it. As we just said, it happens to lots of people, so you don't need to feel worried like you're the only one going through this. And I would think about, how do you want to tell someone? So do you want to write a letter? Sometimes it's easier to put your thoughts and tell someone what's going on in a letter. Do you want to write a message to someone online? Is there someone in your life that you kind of trust? It could be a teacher that you have a really good relationship with, or a parent or a guardian. I think there's lots of options like that. But talking of the internet, also there's so many answers out there. So like, Google is everyone's best friend, because it really does give you a lot of information anonymously, confidentially, so like no one's ever gonna find out. And then within that, there's a lot of helplines and a lot of support out on there. And I think, don't forget, something like Childline, you know, has the word child in it. It does actually go up to like age 18, and there's lots of support services beyond that. Like the Mix is a really, really good one. It's like 16 to 25 year olds. Yeah. So there's a lot of support out there. So don't be afraid to look for it, search for it. Mm-hmm. And I think the moment you speak out, things will start to look a lot better.
And James, you're proof of that, right, as well?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you started writing your songs and stuff, that really helped you, didn't it? So.
Find something you love, innit? Like, if you love to do something, then focus all of your energy into that rather than being negative, because that's what I did. I was negative for a very long time, and it really affected my personality. And I tried to stop certain things so people wouldn't bully me for being that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd take long periods when I wouldn't write any music because I was scared of what people think. And I'd literally, every time I wrote a song, because I was so scared of what people thought, I was always shaking and so nervous inside, because I was putting so much into it, which I don't think is right sometimes. But definitely find something you love and put all of your energy into that, and then it comes naturally that you forget about everything. Like, when I put all of my energy into my music, I forget about all the negativity that's there. Mm-hmm. And I just find something positive to do. And I feel like music is so universal, wherever you go.
Yeah.
Like, when I went to holiday in France, I heard them singing the same songs that I sing and everything like that. So it's just like crazy. It's so universal. So put your energy into something you love.
Mm. I think that's good as well, because it's good, great advice, but I think it's good as well because by doing that and by pursuing a passion, you'll often find people who have similar mindsets and and share a common interest, and through that you can find people who you can just build a friendship with and build a relationship with. And like, that's how me and James met, through a common love of music. And yeah, like you say, find your passion.
Yeah.
I think to wrap up, where do you guys, what's the goal for you guys? Where, like, say in 20 years, what would be the dream in terms of combating bullying?
Yeah. I'd love to say, like, that bullying doesn't exist, but sadly, I just don't think that that's possible. But I think it can always be preventable. Mm. And I think for us, at the charity, the Diana Award, a big goal of us is introducing anti-bullying ambassadors into every school in the UK. There's 27,000 schools, so we're only in 3,000 at the moment, so we've got a long, long way to go. But I would like to think that childhood is, and school is a place where you feel happy, you feel safe, and you feel in control, because we know it has such a big impact on your future. So I would like to make sure that bullying doesn't prevent any young person from fulfilling their potential and fulfilling their dream, because it shouldn't, and it's not a normal part of life.
Yeah, definitely. In 20 years, I'll be 35. By that time, I want to be on my way to changing the world. And I feel like I'm going to be doing that with the help of people like Alex, with the amazing charity, the Diana Award, speaking to young people and really sharing my message. Because like you guys are doing now, all of your fans are going to love you guys for doing this, because there's going to be so many of them who've been through bullying. And just hearing you guys talk is going to be so inspiring to them. And they're going to share on what you guys said, and they're maybe give them the confidence to share their own message and like really help other people. So I just want to make sure that I remember that even though I'm 35, I'll still be young and I'll still be able to talk to the young people, but really continue to give out a positive message and try and inspire as many people as possible and keep being positive. And remember, even though sometimes there will be negativity, there's always the light at the end of the tunnel. And I want all the young people listening to this to feel that as well.
James is, he's got a great offer. So I know last week, we did something with Prince William, the Vamps, but Prince William's promised James that if he wins a Grammy, Prince William will go and present it. Great goal. But that, I mean, that's another good point. It's great that people like the Duke of Cambridge, Prince William, are supporting things like this, and I know the Vamps were able to come and support that Stop Speak, support cyberbullying campaign. And that's actually a really good website to mention if someone's going through bullying. It's stopspeaksupport.com. And it's got some really good advice about how to deal with, in particular, online bullying. Yeah. And great campaign supported by Prince William and lots of great people.
And it can also help as well, because sometimes you feel alone, but the Stop Speak Support campaign, it can definitely help you feel less alone and feel like someone's there. Like all of the emojis and the videos that you get to see, it really does uplift your spirit. And to know that you guys support it, and Prince William and like Google and Snapchat, it brings so many cool social media platforms, influencers together, and it's really going to help change young people's minds and actually shape attitudes and behaviours.
Great. I'm sure that everything that both you, James, and Alex said is going to resonate with our audience. And massive thank you from Brad and myself for coming. I think you guys are inspiring to meet, and I know that our listeners are going to really enjoy this episode. So thanks again for having us.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so
Cheers,
much.
Guys.
Massive thank you to Alex and James for joining us on this episode. It was really good. I keep on saying that each episode is my favourite so far, but like
that was really good. Yeah, I enjoyed that, really, and cool. I think hopefully the listeners will really enjoy that one. Hope you like it, guys.
Well, they like the last one. I've got some tweets to prove it. That said, actually, these ones, some of these comments might be the ones where we're together. I'm just going to hope and pray that they actually just love me on my own. So we've got some tweets here from Kitty, which is @1thevamps1. She said, Kitty. At How Little We Know, every episode gives me a new perspective and really makes me think. So she said, we've done amazingly, thank you. Also, at school, every subject that we talk about, the next day when she goes to school, the teacher kind of talks about a little bit in form time. And she said, maybe he's a secret fan.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. I feel like we're slowly penetrating the schools.
We're going to be lecturers by the end of this.
Got another one here, Brad, haven't we?
We have. So this is from Bethany @thevampsj_b_c_t. What I love about episode 6 is you see there is more to life than the walls of your house. You can do anything if you have the right attitude, regardless of how you test in exams or how much you own. There is always a beautiful landscape to explore. Take it. Very true. Very nice.
The last one is from Meshi Mule, and she said, I love this podcast. You said that we can make our dreams come true if we don't give up. And now she says she knows what to do. This was so much fun to listen to. It's the best way to go to school and kind of like start the day. So I think she's listening to the podcast on the way to school, which is great. She said, I learned so much from all of your podcasts. So thank you, James and Brad. Thank you. If you'd like to be read out on the next podcast, then send us a tweet at HowLittleWeKnow and we'll try and get through them.
We hope you've enjoyed the episode. Again, thank you to Entail. You are amazing. We love you.
App's coming soon as well, I've been told. I mentioned it a couple of episodes ago, but it's very close. They're in lockdown, apparently.
Oh, really?
Don't know what that means, really, but lockdown.
It's going on. Yeah. It's happening. But yeah, James, thank you.
Brad, thank you.
Peace and love. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.